And now joining you live in the studio, Professor Jane Fisher, the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash University.
Jealousy. Night and day you.
Jealousy. It's terrible, terrible emotion.
It is, and I think it's the consequence of this process we all engage in all the time called social comparison.
Ah, I'm so glad you can put a name to something so visceral.
And so there are two forms of it. We can either do downwards social comparison, where we can be rather pleased about what we have that other people don't have.
Mm.
But I think
commonly known as up yourself.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, which is the one we're interested in today, is when you compare yourself unfavourably with others and you're conscious of things that they have, which you do not have, which you desire
now,
or want.
This is the interesting thing, because when I was doing some deep research rather than just emotional recollection, apparently
both important sources of knowledge.
Yes, anecdotal, citizen journalist. Apparently, jealousy is about being afraid of losing something, being insecure, afraid that you have lost something that you have to someone else. Whereas envy is wanting something that someone else has, though the two do intersect.
I think they do, and in the technical definition, jealousy also sometimes has a destructive element to it, that you have lost something that you desire but you don't want anyone else to have it either, and so you can engage in quite destructive things to make sure that that doesn't
happen. But they don't have it.
They don't have it either.
Aggression.
It has an aggressive overtone to it.
Rather than just wanting.
Yes. But look, both of them can drive us to behave in ways that are probably not so helpful or adaptive. So I think we have to be able to recognise and note envy, but then respond to it with our heads and not our hearts. And that can sometimes be difficult. And envy can be aroused by all sorts of things. We can really envy other people their appearance or their skills or the opportunities they've been given that we feel we have not been given, or the assets they have that we don't have, or the quality of their relationships, or the nature of their families, or experiences that they've had, or even particular qualities that they have. And almost always that is being self-critical. It's feeling that what we have is of less value in some way than what another person has. So what we'd be interested to hear from people about is what their experiences of envy or jealousy have been, or indeed what their experiences of other people's behaviour towards them has been, if someone has been jealous or envious of them.
The interesting thing about what we are using as synonyms, I guess, jealousy and envy, is that it actually causes a hormonal discharge in the brain that makes you feel something. It's not just a soft emotion that's wafting
Mm-mm.
around that you can change
Mm-mm.
the channel of.
Mm-mm.
It physically changes
Mm-mm.
your chemistry.
And that's what can drive the behaviour, which someone can look back later on and think, what did I do that for? That was such a crazy thing to do. But it can drive you to behave in quite irrational ways.
Must be the cortisol, is it? The stress hormone.
That must be a part of it that causes you to suspend rationality. You know, for example, people who've been thwarted in love, they feel that someone's abandoned them for another person, can find themselves doing things that never in a rational way they do, like stalking and driving past their house all the time.
Or calling out their name.
calling out their name, calling them up all the time.
Yeah.
So it can really drive you to do things that in a more sensible or calm frame of mind you possibly wouldn't do.
And in fact, can cross the line not only into irrationality but illegality in that respect.
At an extreme can do that.
Yeah.
Can do that. And indeed we do hear of people who, you know, shoplift because they deeply desire something they can't afford and they've seen it on somebody else. So it can really override your
logic,
your principles, your values.
Tell me,
it's a very heated emotion to feel.
And common.
Universal.
It's part of the human condition.
We can all recognise it.
Because we kind of feel ashamed when it hits us. It's one of those scary, shameful emotions. Mm. But it's not like you're the only person that ever feels it. It is part of the universal condition. Shakespeare wrote about the green-eyed monster.
That's right. And I think the challenge as we mature is learning how to manage it in adaptive ways, that just because somebody else has a big house, it doesn't mean I can't have one too, if that's what I desire. Just because somebody else appears to have had all sorts of opportunities, it doesn't mean that I won't also have opportunities that are of value.
Even within a family, there can be sibling rivalry.
Precisely. Of a very intense, quite life-defining kind.
How do you manage it? I'm going to open up the phone lines. 1-300-222-774. Do you have an experience of jealousy or envy that you're trying to manage, that you need some help with, or that you suspect is going on in your life and you'd like just to, you know, air it, get it out? Here's the phone number. 1-300-222-774. 1-300-222-774. I can remember a time in my life where I was afflicted with obsessive thoughts about a person. It actually wasn't a love relationship, but it was a close relationship that had ended. And I was, every waking moment, it took ages and such a lot of mental discipline to train myself not to think about it, to think about what I did have rather than what I'd lost. Quite extraordinary.
It is. And I think, you know, all of us can probably recognise that, how preoccupying it can become.
Mm.
And the challenge is then really to turn it around and to feel that life still has value even without that.
Even without that. I have a lovely text message that is going to open a huge can of worms. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What if your mother is jealous of you?
Well, I think this is a very perceptive comment, and it's one that I see a lot.
Really?
And I think contemporary women have opportunities of many kinds that our mothers did not have, for education, for full social participation, for capability of earning money as well as providing care. And so what some mothers are able to do is to be very pleased for their daughters and proud of them. But for others, I think it reconnects them very strongly with their own thwarted desires. And they can be quite envious of their daughters. And it's the consequence that is a problem, because the usual consequence is that you withhold care. And where I see this happening is where a mother is envious of her daughter, so won't offer any support or care because she feels her daughter has everything and therefore needs nothing from her own mother.
Is that the mother's own insecurity, or is that a mother's anger at her own life? How do you distill that and fix that tangled web?
Well, it's probably a number of things, and it's probably important for the younger woman, the daughter, to recognise that there were many things her mother did not have, and that one of the best things to do is to recognise that empathically, to appreciate what she does have and not to take it for granted, but also maybe to engage her mother with the fact that it's never too late. And that, sure, you might not have had an opportunity for education or participation in the workforce or to travel or to do some of those things, but it's never too late.
But you have to be brave to have those conversations with your mum when your mum's pressing your buttons, don't you? Like, it's a deep breath conversation, a quiet one, not a yelly one.
Yeah, and I think it's a really generous one. And it's hard to have when you feel needy and you feel you want your mother to care for you, and yet you feel she's withholding it from you. So it takes really pretty significant maturity to be able to see it in those terms.
Jane Fisher is your guest on the radio. Professor Jane Fisher is the Jean House Professor of Women's Mental Health up at Monash University. She's with you on the radio. We're talking about jealousy. Cherie from the Dandenongs has called in. Good afternoon, Cherie.
Oh, hi. How are you?
We're good, thank you.
Hi, Cherie.
Hi. I've never done this before, so if I stuff things up, apologise in advance.
Tell us about your experience.
Oh, well, just basically, I have a problem. I always think that everyone's got it better.
Yes.
Which is not the case at all. It's just how I see things. And, I mean, sometimes when you scratch a little bit deeper, you find that it's not so, and that people that you're envious of, you find that their life is not all that you thought that it was, and you always feel that people have a more exciting life or more friends or...
Yeah.
And then you go a bit deeper and find, oh, it's not the case, but, yeah, so it's quite interesting.
I think that's very perceptive because there are always people who have some more things than we do, and equally there are always people who have fewer things than we do. And the challenge of each life is to be able to savour what we have, and then I think to capture the sense that we can exert some agency over trying to put into our lives the things that we're missing that we want. Mm. And it's not that because somebody else has them, you can't have them. And that's the important next step, it sounds like, waiting for you, is to be able to see, well, what are the things I would like to have that I see other people having, and how do I go about doing that, rather than just
comparing
with what others have.
Because you're actually comparing to a fiction, because you've absolutely got no idea. So you can only look at what makes you happy, really, can't you, Jane?
And it was interesting, people were asked in an experiment once, would you swap lives, all the good and the bad, with somebody else?
Mm.
And it turns out the only bits you want to swap are the good bits. But every life has advantages and disadvantages, disappointments and frustrations, as well as joys.
Cherie, what stage of life are you at? Have you got small children?
No, they're all grown up. And actually, when I speak to people, they say, you know, why should you be envious? I'm not envious of things that they've got. It's I just sort of think, oh, they might have a more exciting life, or they might have more friends. I'm not talking about money
Those are very good examples of the things we can envy. And the important step is, if I don't feel I have enough friends, what can I do to try and build some more friendships? And very importantly, if my life doesn't feel very exciting, what is it that I might, now my kids are grown up, what might I be able to do? That's what we'd encourage you to do, Cherie.
Have you got some thoughts, Cherie, about the things that interest you?
Not really. I've got MS, and so you're sort of restricted to things that, you know, I used to do, I can't do any longer, from just issues like walking and things that I would like to do.
Mm.
But I know I am very lucky. I know I'm, and yet people have said, you know, you've got such a good family, which I have. I'm so blessed. I have such a really loving and family that have caused me no grief at all, and I'm very, very fortunate, and a husband that's very loving and caring. So
we wish you luck in trying to find some adventure, Cherie.
We do. And Cherie, I've got a text message that's just come in. I'll share it with you before we move on. It says, the happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything. It's not what you got, it's how you use it. Thank you for that text message. What did my nanny used to say, Jane? I wish she'd known her. She'd say, it's not about having what you want, it's wanting what you have. There you go.
It's a very wise.
One of those little old things. An SMS has come in. We lost some very close friends after our baby was born. Friends we had for years were suddenly never available anymore. That's from Alison in Melton. That happens.
That can be a very deep envy when you deeply desire a baby or a partner and you see others
having
them. I think that's what happens. And sometimes you can recover. When you both have babies, you can. But it can be a very divisive experience because it's painful for them to be with you, and sometimes that just needs to be understood sensitively.
You have to be generous.
Yeah, you have to be generous. Don't go on about your baby all the time in front of them. Be empathic about what their lives contain.
Do you have a question that you would like to ask Jane, or an experience that you would like to share? Because here's the number, 1-300-222-774. You know what happens. The session finishes before you've had a chance to dial, and then you think, oh, I wish I'd called. So now is the time to call. 1-300-222-774. Another SMS that's come in. I'm currently trying to conceive. I saw a neighbour walk past our house yesterday, obviously pregnant, looking fabulous. I'm so jealous. I can't stop thinking about it. And I already have kids.
It's so understandable.
Yeah.
And I think that the yearning for a baby at that life stage is visceral, and it's really a profound hunger. And to see someone else where that has happened easily and it's not happening for you is very understandable. So I think in that circumstance, it's perfectly legitimate to be gentle with yourself. You don't have to expose yourself every day to people who have babies. But important to know that you too have a right to have your life goals and desires achieved to the extent that is possible.
Got a text message here that's distracted me. What do you do with a friend who is envious to the point of copying everything you do? Sounds like single white female, doesn't it? It's ruining the friendship, as I'm now loath to share anything I do or want, as I know they'll do or buy the same.
Difficult one, isn't it?
Well, sometimes you've got to...
In a way, she's paying you a compliment, but in another way, it's sort of saying that she has no sense of her own taste or style that she's confident in, and perhaps that's something you need to talk to her about. It can be an awkward thing to raise.
Would you have that conversation with someone, or do you just extricate yourself and put a bit of distance? I mean, how successful are these heart-to-heart conversations? You absolutely have to be on the same page to be able to come away with a new version of the friendship, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think there are some friendships that don't continue. There are some times in life when some friendships diminish and other ones form. Probably in a really good friendship, you're able to tell the other person that you're actually jealous of them or you envy something they have, even if it's done in a light-hearted or warm way. But this kind of mimicry is actually rather uncomfortable, and it might well be something that you that causes you to reduce your the depth of your friendship with that person.
Another text message. It seems like this is a conversation that people are more comfortable texting.
Having in writing.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. Hi there. My envy is located in all my friends being bought houses for them by their parents. I feel like I work really long hours and hard but can't even save a deposit. It's from Alice. I get that, Alice, but you will be so much happier when you get it together and so much prouder of yourself.
Yeah.
It's a long-term view, isn't it, Jane?
It is. I think this is a very interesting one because sometimes we can envy that another person's life appears easy, and it's easy to envy the fact that they have been given cars or jobs or they have a very straightforward life. Ultimately, though, we achieve much greater resilience, empathy, capacity to manage life through achieving things on our own with support from others. And so at the time, it can be extremely difficult to see others having things handed to them. But in a way, they're being deprived of an important life opportunity that ultimately doesn't serve them well.
And I think that people who've been given things actually really admire people that have got them through their own brilliance, work ethic, enterprise, entrepreneurship.
I do, and I think that sometimes can be the way this works out, that the princess actually envies the worker. It's an important thing to value your own endeavours and achievements and not always to feel that others are benefiting because they've been given material things.
Lisa sent a text saying, me too, Alice. Thanks, Lisa. Let's take a call from Marilyn in Seaford. Good afternoon, Marilyn.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I am insanely jealous. It's a terrible trait, and I know it. I'm in my 60s now. I'm divorced, but I always feel like I'm never good enough for a man in my life. I got to the stage at one point of my life where the fellow I was going out with, I caught cheating. He was going out with a lady from overseas who was not an Australian citizen, and I rang up immigration and got her deported.
What do you think about that now as you reflect back on it, Marilyn?
What a rotten thing to do.
But perhaps an understandable thing in the situation that you were in. But you're right, it's a pretty powerful example of your jealousy leading you to do something that was destructive to the person you cared about.
Yeah, it is. And I feel terrible at the time, but it's like something else takes over my body and does it.
Mm.
I have shocking panic attacks at that moment, and I'm almost unrecognisable.
Do you think as you've got older, you've come to understand this a bit more?
No.
Well, as I say often, it's never too late, and it might be something to try to maybe even get a bit of help to get a handle on and understand what is it you feel you don't have that's led you to behave in these ways, because it doesn't mean that you're not entitled to have good things, the fact that other people have experienced them.
I understand that, but I just always feel like I'm never good enough for the person that I'm with, and that they're always looking for someone else. And I sort of make the relationship fail.
I was going to say, you manifest it because of the negative thoughts.
Yeah, and that can drive people away. It can be hard to be in your company in that way.
And well, I think the first step, Marilyn. Today is the first step of coming out, drawing a line in the sand, and perhaps approaching someone to help you not sabotage yourself like that.
Because that's what I do, and I could almost be handcuffed to them 24 hours a day. I'm so possessive.
Well, we wish you well on this challenge of trying to move beyond that behaviour.
Mm, indeed, because if it's causing you pain, then something has to change. You know, very interestingly, a little bit later in the program, Jane, we've got some fascinating research that's come to light about people's mental health and happiness, that those who take responsibility and take charge of their lives with a can-do attitude, it's actually done by an economist, have more success with their lives than those people who say, oh, I'll just leave it to the universe, I'll just leave it to fate, and who believe in luck and who think this is the way it is. I mean, it seems self-evident, but there is this question about changing the way you think. And I don't necessarily think it's fooling yourself. I think it's just accepting who you are, that you can't say, oh, it's not really jealousy, I don't know who this person is. Mm. You have to accept that it's part of your nature and that it needs to be managed in a different way.
I think that's true, that we have to take some agency and responsibility for our own behaviour and conduct, our ways of thinking, the choices we make, even if that's sometimes, as it is in this circumstance, an uncomfortable thing to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be very hard to do on your own. It can be helpful to do it with somebody. It could be helpful to perhaps see a counsellor or someone who could help you understand that behaviour and then work out how you start behaving differently.
Because you can go to a GP and get a mental health plan to make a counsellor accessible, can't you?
You certainly can, and that can be a very constructive thing to do when this has become an established pattern in your life and it's led you repeatedly to experience some of the disappointments that we've heard about.
Mary from Whittlesea is joining us on the phone. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
Tell us your story, Mary.
Oh, well, I've got twins, and they're almost 20, a girl and a boy. Now, the son, they both mix with sort of wealthy families because of their schools and yada yada.
Yeah.
But my son gets so bent out of shape about kids who are given cars and houses. And my daughter, not at all. Now, they're both raised the same way. And as far as jealousy goes, I've always said to them, just be happy for people who have things and be happy for what you have, you know. But it's interesting, he really gets bent out of shape about it. So jealous.
Yeah, I think this always illustrates beautifully the differences in temperament, that we all bring a different temperament to life, and it's not the only component of our personality or our personal style. But there's no doubt that even twins who've had a pretty identical environment can approach and experience the world differently. Might be useful to have some discussions with your son about the things in particular that he feels he doesn't have.
And then he doesn't have rich parents, he says.
Well, he needs, as we've been talking about agency, as he gets to the age of 20, it's time to be beginning to think about what can I do in my life. I'm moving beyond the time when people just hand me things. What can I do in my life that might give me a sense of satisfaction and achievement and participation and inclusion? Because usually once we construct a life that has those elements in it, I think jealousy begins to diminish.
Yes, indeed. And also, I guess it's about time one started defining what does it mean to be rich.
Exactly.
You know, I've got a text message I'd like to share with you. My darling wife died 10 years ago. When I see a mature, loving couple holding hands, it makes me so sad I cry. That's from Frank.
And how understandable to envy that when that's something you've experienced and lost. And again, you can contemplate whether this is something that you might want to re-establish in your life. Having experienced it once, you know how to construct that in your life.
And with social occasions that you can do around the community. Jane, what an extraordinary session. They're always wonderful talking with you. Jane Fisher, the Jean Hales Professor of Women's Mental Health at Monash Uni. And to all of you, thank you for ringing and sharing your stories.